Welcome to the show. My name is Gary Zimek. I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes. I hope you'll be able to stick around, make yourself comfortable, as this week on the program, we are going to look at the Mass readings for the 8th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I call today's program, How Am I Doing? A Spiritual Checkup. You know, next week is the first week of Lent, if you can believe that. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. And I thought, this is perfect. When I look at these readings for this weekend's Sunday Mass, the message is all about looking inside and making a self-assessment. How am I doing spiritually? And this is perfect as we lead into Lent, because what we don't want to do with Lent, you know, Lent's going to be here whether we do anything or not, whether we prepare or not. Lent will be here. Next Sunday is going to be the first Sunday of Lent. And after that, we're going to progress through 40 days of Lent, followed by Easter. There have been many Lenten seasons in my life where I didn't benefit from them because I didn't put any effort into them. So I'm going to hope that together we can make this the best Lent that we have ever experienced, because quite honestly, we never know if we're going to get another chance at this. And, you know, I don't like to be morbid, but I need to be realistic for all of us. I've known people during Lent who never had another Lent. They didn't expect to not have another one, but it's happened. And I'm sure you have similar experiences. I'm sure you know some people who were around one Lent and they weren't here the next Lent. That's the way it's going to be for all of us. One Lenten season of 1 year will be the last Lent that we ever experience before we go to get our judgment and hopefully make it to heaven. So the key is for us to prepare. And what my hope is today is that these readings will inspire us. And I say us because I need this too. I've been thinking about this. I've been praying about it. I want to make this Lent very fruitful for myself. And that requires prayer. That requires some thought. It requires effort. And the best way to start, the best place to start, is doing an internal checkup, a spiritual checkup. How am I doing? And, you know, with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, you're going to come up with some areas that could use improvement. And that's the goal. So we're going to talk about that today. Next week, we will focus on the readings for the first Sunday of Lent. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about give up worry for Lent. I mean, this is what I'm known for. I'm going to be out there. I've already started by the time you hear this, speaking at parishes, leading parish missions, giving talks, leading retreats to help those who attend break away from worry and draw closer to Jesus. That's what the goal of Lent is. And I'll tell you what, while not necessarily being a sin, worry is something that can keep us away from the Lord. So we'll chat a little bit about that today, if we have time as well, in the event that you are participating in Give Up Worry for Lent this year. We'll talk a little bit about that too, because the next time we speak, Lent will have already begun. So why don't we do this? Why don't we pray as we do each week, and then we'll get right on with the program. So if you'll just take a minute and compose yourself and really call to mind the fact that you are in the presence of the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit right now. They are with you. They are with me. And they're standing by waiting to hear from us. So let's begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for making yourself present to us. Father, we know that wherever we go, you are with us. We might not be able to see you, but that's the way it's supposed to be because you are pure spirit. And we recognize that you can't be seen with our eyes. But by faith, Father, we know that you are present with us. We thank you for creating us. We thank you for adopting us as your children. We thank you for providing for all of our needs from the time we were first conceived. We thank you for your willingness, Father, to listen to our cries for help in prayer. We thank you for your willingness to forgive us when we sin. We thank you for your willingness to give us the grace that we need to lead a holy life. So we turn to you today, Father. We lift up all of our usual intentions. We pray for all around the world who are struggling. We pray for our family and friends, those who have asked us to pray for them, those for whom we promised to pray and maybe forgotten about. We pray for our needs, our spiritual needs, as well as our material needs. And we pray, Father, that with the help of your Holy Spirit, we'll be able to recognize those faults, imperfections, bad habits, which keep us away from you. We pray for the grace to have a great Lent this year. Father, I also ask you to give me the words for this program. Please give me the words so that I can deliver the message that you would like me to deliver. And please open all of our hearts and all of our minds to hear your message and to put it into practice in our lives. And Father, we ask these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. If you just happen to be tuning in now, my name is Gary Zimak, and I come to you one time each week as we reflect on the Sunday Mass readings. This week, we're looking at the Mass readings for the 8th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as I said at the start of the show, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Lent. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So we're getting ready. We are close, but it's not too late to try to decide what needs to change in your life. And let's be honest, we all need to change. This is not something that we're going to work out. You know, we're not going to ever get to the point, or we should never get to the point, where we say, well, this Lent, I don't have anything to work on. I'm close enough to Jesus. Everything is good. I don't need to work on anything. If we do that, we're kidding ourselves. I think the challenge is to identify something. And I'm a big believer in trying to narrow it down. You know, we all have many things that we could work on. But if we try to take on too much during Lent, it's going to become difficult. And we're going to be overwhelmed and might not get anything done. So I suggest you focus on one thing, and that might change during Lent. Something might pop up, and you might realize that you need some work in an area that you didn't anticipate. Maybe a situation will present itself, and you'll find yourself faced with a fault or a bad habit that you didn't really think about before, and you think, well, maybe I need to work on this. But don't try to take on too much. As you may know, if you don't, I'm going to tell you now, I've become known for a book that I wrote a few years ago. The book was called Give Up Worry for Lent. And ever since the book came out, I've been speaking about it. I've been leading parish missions on the topic. I've been doing a lot of radio and television about it. And I'm really blessed to be able to share this message with so many people. Now, you may be a worrier, or you might be a slight worrier, or you might not be somebody who doesn't worry at all. Just in case you're interested or you want to find out more about Give Up Worry for Lent, you can go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and you can sign up for my daily email reflections. And we are about to start focusing on the daily reflections in Give Up Worry for Lent. You can also pick up a copy of the book, Give Up Worry for Lent. You can do all that at my website, followingthetruth.com. What Give Up Worry for Lent is, it's a means to break away from trying to control everything, because that's essentially what worry is. Worry is when we try to control what we can't control, and we start to worry. We begin to internally dwell on all the problems we're facing, and come up with worst case scenarios and focus on, well, what's going to happen if this doesn't work out? If I can't fix it, what's going to happen? Or how can I bring this fear of mine under control? That's what worry is. Worry is a response to fear. Fear is an emotion. It's morally neutral. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's just a feeling. And God gives us feelings. He gives us the feeling of fear, the emotion or the passion of fear, if you want to call it that, so that we can recognize legitimate dangers in our lives and act on them. So if you have a problem in your life, like your car, your check engine light goes on in your car. There's one that's been troubling me for the past several months. I keep thinking I get it fixed and boom, it goes on again. We're still working on trying to figure this one out. But that's a sign that you got a problem. You could have a potentially serious problem with your car. And the intent of that, you might experience some fear like, oh my gosh, my car, the light went on. What's going to happen next? Is it going to break down? The fear is designed to get you to do something, to get you to act, because there is a legitimate problem. There is a legitimate danger, not always serious, but a danger of some kind with your car. When that light goes on, that's a sign telling you there's a problem here. And the best way to respond to that problem is to fix it, to do what you can to fix it. And typically what you would do is take it to a mechanic and try to assess the situation. When that happens, that's what we would call concern as opposed to worry. Worry would be the check engine light comes on in the car. We begin to panic. We pull into a parking lot and we start crying and just completely concocting all kinds of worst case scenarios and just sit in that parking lot lamenting, ruminating, whatever word you want to use. What's going wrong with the car? What do I do? What am I going to do if my car breaks down now? I can't afford to buy a new car. I can't afford to get it fixed, as opposed to taking it in for service. See the difference between worry and concern? And fear, if it's legitimate, it's designed. God gave us the emotion of fear to alert us that we might have a problem. Now, what he would like us to do, and the whole purpose of give up worry for Lent, is when we are afraid, in addition to doing what we can, because he always wants us to do what we can, the Lord wants us to ask him to help us. And when I have a car problem, or when I have a problem around the house, something goes wrong, or when I have a medical issue, I've learned to turn to the Lord and ask for help. Lord, please guide me. You know the story. You probably know the story of my wife, Eileen, and her battle with epilepsy. This is something that came on us last summer. And it's been, I mean, she's been okay physically, but there's been little challenges concerning different doctors that she has to go see. Sometimes she'll get advice that doesn't seem just right. Maybe the doctor doesn't call her back. We've had to consult other doctors. You know, it gets tricky. The Lord always wants us to do what we can, but he wants us to turn to him and ask for help. So in addition to doing what we can, in Eileen's case, we would pray about it. Lord, please send us to the right doctor. Please help them fix this. Please let them get this problem resolved. And that could be with a car. It could be with a medical condition. It could be with a relationship problem. It could be with a job situation. It could be with financial difficulties, loneliness, whatever it is. That fear can consume us and turn into worry, thinking that I am not going to survive this. It's never going to get better. This is hopeless. And when we do that, what we do is take the Lord out of the picture. We don't want to do that. A habitual sin. I've been there where you commit this same sin over and over, and at some point you begin to become discouraged. You can even despair and think this will never get better. You don't want to think that way, because with God, all things are possible. So that's the gist of give up worry for Lent. That's the gist of going into Lent. I mean, the whole idea is to try to be closer to the Lord and to let him help you with whatever it is that you're facing. So if you're interested in finding out more about Give Up Worry for Lent, if you're interested in getting the free email reflections, just head on over to followingthetruth.com. You can sign up for it there. If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. But so, you know, whatever you're doing for Lent, whatever your changes you're going to make, it's always a good idea to assess, do an internal checkup, and try to determine what needs to be fixed. What do I need to fix? That's what these readings sort of remind us of today. So again, we're looking at the Mass readings for the Sunday, the eighth Sunday in ordinary time. How am I doing? Let's look at the gospel first, as we always do on the here on the program. We'll start with the gospel, then we'll back up and look at how the other readings fit in or tie into the gospel. The gospel this week comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 45. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher. But when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but you do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite! Remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, the main message of this this parable told by Jesus is we got to look inside at the things that need to be changed. Are we internally healthy in a spiritual way? Or is there a bunch of junk inside of us that needs to get cleaned up? Because everything we think, everything we speak, and everything we do really comes from what's inside of us. All of our actions, all of our words, they come from what our thoughts are. They're driven by our thoughts. And during Lent, a lot of times we get into this idea of, well, I've just got to do these things. I got to give up these things, these external actions. I'm going to give up candy. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to do good deeds for other people. I'm going to, you know, whatever it is, external actions. That's a good thing. It's definitely not a bad thing. But what Jesus wants us to do, and I talk about this in Give Up Worry for Lent, when I give my missions, I always start with the first recorded words of Jesus in Mark's Gospel, Mark 1:15, where he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news." The time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. And that word repent, we hear it a lot during the Lenten season. It's a translation of the Greek word, because the Gospels were written in Greek. The Greek word is metanoia. And you probably heard that around. That's a big word in the church. You hear that that term a lot. What that is, that's an internal change. That is literally to think differently or to change the way one thinks. And that's what the Lord is looking for during Lent. He's looking for a change, an internal conversion. He's not looking just for the good works. He's looking for an internal change so that we can think, we can learn to think as Jesus did, which will lead to the externals, the good words, the good actions. That will come from the thoughts. So during Lent, certainly when we give things up, what we're trying to do is gain control of our passions, which is a great thing because we become attached to the comforts of the world. And by giving things up, it's sort of controls our passions a little bit, which will help us to not sin. And we also, any suffering that we experience when we give things up can be united with the suffering of Jesus and used to save souls. So that's a good thing. But you want to make sure that what you're doing externally is also changing you internally. When we come to the end of Lent, what we don't want to do is say, okay, I gave up chocolate and I'm going to stuff my face with lots of chocolate again. I got through it. No, we want to come out of Lent different spiritually than when we entered into it. We want to be changed people. And that's what this is all about. And the Lord is very clearly saying, okay, we can all find faults with other people, But before you can look at the faults of other people and accurately assess, yes, these actions are, I gotta tell somebody about their actions. We need to look internally and get our own house in order first. And if we do that, it involves a look inside of us. Why am I thinking this way? Why am I angry at this person? Did I really forgive the person who wronged me? Am I really determined to do God's will instead of my own will? And these are things that we can think about with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to help you to do this self-examination. And then you can go into Lent. See, now's the time to do it. It's a few days away, so you still have time to do this. And think, okay, well, I'm a little selfish. I'm impatient. You know, again, you might have multiple problems, and I know I do. But try to pick one major area. Maybe I worry too much. I don't trust God. When I don't understand his ways, do I lash out? Do I stop praying? Do I get angry? Do I begin to worry and not say, Lord, I trust you? You know, remembering that trust is not a feeling. Trust is a decision. So it's going to be different for each one of us. But try to give that some thought and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Doesn't have to be fancy. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me. You know, you don't need to be overly wordy about it. The Holy Spirit understands where you're coming from and will help you. You just have to ask for the help and believe that he will. All right, let's look at the first reading now. It's a short one from the book of Sirach, chapter 27, verses 4 through 7. Now, see if you can get the connection, how this first reading matches up with the gospel about an internal change or a good tree bearing good fruit. When a sieve is shaken, the husks appear. So do one's faults when one speaks. As the test of what the potter molds is in the furnace, so in tribulation is the test of the just. The fruit of a tree shows the care it has had. So too does one's speech disclose the bent of one's mind. Praise no one before he speaks, for it is then that people are tested. Did you catch that? The fruit of the tree shows the care it has had, so too does one's speech disclose the bent of one's mind. You can get it. You can learn a lot from people by listening to them speak. How many times have you seen somebody get into some kind of trouble? You know, there'll be a hidden camera, or people don't realize they're on film. They get stopped by a police officer. And celebrities, we've seen this so many times, they say all kinds of crazy things. And then afterwards, they'll say, well, that's not really who I am. It's not really who I am. But in reality, this is an indication. The way we speak is the way that we really think. So let's try to keep that in mind when it comes to really thinking about change, thinking about what needs to be changed in our lives. Let's look now at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 92. Lord, it is good to give thanks to you. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, Most High, to proclaim your kindness at dawn and your faithfulness throughout the night. The just one shall flourish like the palm tree, like a cedar of Lebanon shall he grow. They that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit even in old age. Victorious and sturdy shall they be, declaring how just is the Lord my rock, in whom there is no wrong. Lord, it is good to be to give thanks to you. When we look at this first reading, when we look at the responsorial psalm, we could sometimes see an indication or a tie-in between the first reading and the gospel. And the one that got me is, they shall bear fruit even in old age. Victorious and sturdy shall they be. The just one shall flourish like the palm tree. In other words, producing good fruit. And during Lent, that's what we want to work on during the Lenten season. We want to work with the help of the Holy Spirit on becoming holier, getting rid of the bad habits, becoming more like Christ, putting him first. All right, let's look at the second reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 58. Brothers and sisters, when this which is corruptible clothes itself with incorruptibility, and this which is mortal clothes itself with immorality, When this which is corruptible clothes itself with incorruptibility, and this which is mortal clothes itself with immortality, then the word that is written shall come about. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, steadfast, always fully devoted to the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. What a great message as we head into Lent. Be firm, steadfast, devoted to the work of the Lord. In other words, go into Lent, giving it your best shot, working hard, and doing it knowing that you're going to get the Lord's help. You're going to get the grace you need to get you through this Lent and make it a good one. So again, I want to thank you for tuning in today. I hope you're going to join me for Give Up Worry for Lent. If you want to sign up for my email reflection, go to followingthetruth.com. You can sign up. It's free, and you're going to get an email each day, which basically expands on the material in the book. It's not a regurgitation of what's in the book. It's an expansion of it. Give you some extra thoughts. And also, I hope you can come to one of my talks. If you go to followingthetruth.com, you're going to see my schedule and everywhere where I'll be. So I hope to see you if I'm going to be in your area. And know if you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'm going to be praying for you, and I would ask you to please pray for me during this Lenten season. And let's do that internal checkup. Let's look at ourselves and see what needs to be changed this Lent. You know, we have the opportunity. Now is the time. What needs to be changed, and then get ready and ask the Lord for the help to make that change. Sound good? Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Again, I'll be praying for you. Please pray for me, and God willing, we'll do this again next week. Bye-bye.